This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis, where the Lord is blessing one day, time after time, has been for many of these years. You know, the scriptures tell us to forget not all of his benefits. I'm afraid many of us forget how blessed we are to just hear the truth. Did you know it's gracious to hear the truth? God's word says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I told someone the other day, if you never hear the truth, you never get saved. And many folks have never heard the truth, never will hear it. But we have, and you have. But the message is, the just shall live by faith, and we'll give you the mailing address at the close of the service.
If you have your Bibles, open them at the 10th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the 38th verse, Hebrews 10:38. Let's read. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, or were approved of God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's the reading of the last two verses of the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the first three verses of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now let's notice that first expression in the 38th chapter. Now the just shall live by faith. These words are quoted from Habakkuk 2:4. Paul quotes them again in Romans 1:17 and also again in the 14th chapter of Romans, I believe. The just shall live by faith. That is the justified man, one whom God has justified, get it now, lives by faith. This is the proof of the perseverance and is one of the distinguishing characteristics of a child of God. That is, he lives by faith. The sinner who has been justified by God through the imputation of Christ's righteousness to his account lives by faith. Every justified individual that's been justified by the Lord God of heaven on the basis of the imputed righteousness of God in Christ lives by faith. This is the influencing principle of his entire life. Paul clearly sets forth this great truth in Galatians 2:20. Listen to God's word. The life which I now live in the flesh, get it now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's right. He lives it by the faith of the Son of God. The individual who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, delivered from the power of Satan and the curse and the condemnation of the law, does not just merely believe. No, it's not just one act of believing, but continuous believing. His whole life is a continued life of faith from the very moment he lays hold of Christ, the object of his faith, based upon the Word of God, which is the foundation of his faith. He continues to believe until he walks in the pearly gates on the other side. Now that's true. One day, a child, a little boy, about 15 years of age, died. The pastor conducting the funeral went to the mother and said, was he a Christian? Well, he said, she said to him, I don't know. He joined the church. He trusted Jesus and joined the church back there when he's 9 years of age. Oh, that's enough. That's enough. If he made a profession of faith in Jesus, that's enough. That's all right. That's proof enough he's saved. It isn't. It isn't. Let me tell you something, friend. You don't believe in Jesus Christ today as one act of faith. That is not salvation. Salvation is the continuing believing, is the persevering in believing the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps on believing. I tell my Lord every day I believe him, just like it was the night day I came to him and fell at his feet crying for mercy, saying, Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Save me, lest I perish. I want to tell you, my friend, that cry has been in my heart for 18 years since that thing happened. Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. It's been a life of faith in connection with this statement, the just shall live by faith. Listen to Luke 8:13. And these have no root, which for a while believed, and in time of temptation fell away. Now that was just your one act of faith. And you know what the average person's experience is today? He'll tell you that back yonder, when he was 9 or 10, 11 years of age, he trusted Jesus as his Savior. But when the going got hard and tough, he fell away, went into the depths of sin, and yonder somewhere in his 20s, maybe he's in college, maybe he's somewhere, he came back to the Lord. Now, my friend, you've never been to the Lord. You don't know anything about him. Salvation is the daily moment trusting Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The outstanding characteristic of the child of God is that he continues to believe. That's what I'm trying to say. He continues to believe. It is the life of faith by the faith of the Son of God. It's a life of faith. It's not one act. It's a life of faith. You listen to me as we go on. I want you to notice the future tense. The just shall live by faith, which means the necessity of a continued exercise of faith. The constant exercise of faith by the saint is as essential. Get it now? Let me repeat that again. You didn't get it? Listen. The constant exercise of faith by the saint is as essential to his final salvation as it was to his initial salvation. You don't trust Christ today and call that salvation, but the faith that brings salvation is the faith that trusts Christ day after day. It's a faith that believes the promises day after day, whether in sunshine or shadow, whether in sickness or in health, whether on the mountaintop or in the valley, whether in life or in death. That's right. Let me give you this statement, quoting, just as the soul can only be delivered from the wrath to come by repentance, that self-judgment, and personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can only be delivered from the power of indwelling sin, from the temptations of Satan, from an enticing world which seeks to destroy us by a steady and persistent walking by faith, repenting and believing. May that statement soak in. It is only the daily exercise of faith, which is a fruit of endurance, that enables the Christian to stand firm amid the storms of life. It's a life of faith. Now let's notice that next statement, verse 38. But if any man draw back, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Here the Apostle Paul is faithfully warning the Hebrew Christians, and it is a warning to everyone who professes to be saved. Listen, of the dreadful results if he draws back. Christ said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. That is one who looks only after his temporal affairs, after his worldly reputation and personal comforts in regard to his soul, shall finally, eternally lose his soul in hell. Yes, sir, if you disregard, you look after your temporal affairs, your worldly reputation, your personal comforts, in disregard to your soul, you shall finally end up in hell. I don't care what type of a church member you may be. I don't care how much you believe back yonder in your childhood. If you're not living by faith now, you're not saved. You get it? Listen. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That word believes in the present tense, to the one that continues to believe, one who daily believes to the saving of his soul. This is a declarative statement that characterizes every born-again believer. They will not draw back. But those who are not rooted and grounded in the faith of the Son of God will draw back to the damnation of their own souls. I'll tell you, my friends, I believe the Bible teaches, and I know it teaches, that once a person is in Christ, that person can never be lost. Now that's definite. That's positive. But there's a thin line there somewhere that many who profess faith in Christ do not get to him. In time they draw back to the damnation of their own soul. I don't know how far a person can go in his profession toward Christ and not be saved, but I know it's a mighty thin line there somewhere. Listen again. This is a declarative statement that characterizes every born-again believer. They will not draw back. But those who are not rooted and grounded in the faith of the Son of God will draw back to the damnation of their own souls. Let's make this clear. The complete and final salvation of the sinner is dependent upon his continued trust in and obedience to God in Christ, not as a cause to salvation, but as the indispensable means to salvation. Nothing, get this, nothing but a God-given and a God-maintained faith can enable us to row against the stream of flesh and blood, deny its cravings, overcome the world, and bring us to heaven at last. The flesh pities. The flesh comforts. The flesh spares. The flesh pampers the individual. Faith is for the saving of the soul. Now, do you get that? Did you understand? Now we come to Hebrews 11, 1, 3. I might say the 11th chapter of Hebrews is divided into two parts. The first three verses gives us a general description of faith, and that's what we want to see as we continue on. Now let's look at the description of faith as set forth in Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are you listening? Now some of you turned around there and spoke to your children or spoke to your company or tried to listen to somebody else talking. Just get them all quiet. You're disturbing me. Now, I can't preach. It makes me nervous if you're moving around your radio. I can tell it just as well as I'm sitting here. Now, let's get quiet. Let's get quiet. Listen. Listen. The acts of faith are two. First, it is the substance. Second, it's the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith substantiates or gives a substance to our hopes and demonstrates things not seen. As the thing we believe is yet to come, get it now, faith gives it a substance. As these things are hidden from the eye of sense and from our fleshly reason, faith gives them substance, and faith also gives them evidence. Isn't that gracious? Faith convinces us of the worthy of them. These are acts belonging to the understanding and to the will. In other words, faith stands for the things believed until it becomes a reality. Faith gives the evidence that we are going to receive them. That's right. That's right. An old sinner said, yeah, bless the Lord. He's going to save you. I know he will because he said it. And he may be as mean as hell. Yes, that's what you are. But faith, you said Christ died for sinners. God said it. I believe it. And that'll end it. God will do it. Then faith is over against all human reasoning, against all carnal reasoning. And faith stands there seeing and knowing with indisputable evidence that the thing believed will become a reality. Now, there are certain individuals that I believe that God's going to save. He's given me the evidence. Faith is the evidence he's going to save them. That's right. Faith, whether natural or spiritual, is the belief of a testimony. Faith is believing the testimony of God. If you can believe the testimony of men, how much more can you believe the testimony of God about his Son? Faith gives ground or confidence or assurance that the thing believed will become a living reality. Here's a saint, and God shows him what he wants him to do. Nobody will believe him, but he sees that thing just as clear by faith if it was already come to pass, and he works and lives on that condition. Noah lived by faith. God said to him there's going to be a flood. He believed God. He saw that flood coming. He knew it was coming. He believed the testimony of God. The Word of God is the foundation of our faith. The Lord God of heaven is the object of our faith. You believe, you see it? And so, a promise in God's Word is backed by a promising God. And you can believe Him. You can believe Him. Faith provides a firm standing ground while I await the fulfillment of God's promises. Faith furnishes my heart with a sure support while I wait for God to fulfill His promise. That's right. Faith believes God and relies upon His veracity, His faithfulness, His honesty. That's right. Faith just rests right there. Faith believes God. Sinner, you can believe Him. You can just rest right there. Saints, you can believe Him and continue to believe Him. Listen again. By faith, the heart is anchored and remains steadfast, and it matters not how fierce the storm, how long the waiting may be. Faith waits right there, and faith will not let go. And faith believes, and God gives the evidence. That's right. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is resting on its promises, expecting their accomplishment. The believer is satisfied with such security and acts and lives accordingly, fully persuaded that God will not fail him, although he may stand alone. By faith he sees. By faith he lays hold of. By faith he is standing on solid ground. By faith he knows that the promises of God will not fail. And he's firmly persuaded that God will perform all his promise for him in Christ. And nobody else may. They may count you a fool. They may say, well, you're an old fool. Well, so that's all right. But by faith, he lays hold of the promises. By faith, he anchors on them. By faith, he stands there. By faith, he sees them to be fulfilled. By faith, he cannot be moved. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. Faith draws from the promises of God that which is stored up in them. That's what faith does. Faith just sits down by those promises in God's Word and draws the great blessings that's stored up in those promises for him. They're for him. And he praises God for them. And so faith makes the promises of God food for his soul. He believes them. He rests upon them. You can't shake him off of them. There he is. He'll die there. Because from those promises, he gets his food for the soul. Faith appropriates that promise, and it becomes powerfully operative in that individual soul and life. Faith makes that promise a living reality, and his whole life is shaped and molded by the faith in the Word of God. You see that thing, friend? Is your life being molded by doubts and fears? Or is it being molded by the Word of God? Faith is the evidences of things not seen. Faith gives surety and certainty to what is true. And faith convinces me that what God says is true. Faith then might be said to be the eye of the soul, which looks and clearly sees and is convinced that what God says is true. Faith gives reality to the heart outside the range of our physical senses. Just what the eye is to the human body, faith is to the spirit. That's right. Listen, to the unbeliever, the objects that God sets before us in his word seem so unreal and unlikely and vague. He says, what do you see in that? I don't see anything in that, says the unbeliever. Ha, 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 ha. You think you're somebody, come reading the Bible and studying it, and there's nothing to it. But the believer says, listen, friend, you just don't know. You haven't been where I am. You don't know anything about it. Faith visualizes the unseen. Faith gives a firm standing to the things hoped for and the reality of things invisible. And they're just as clear to the eye of faith as a subject is to the physical eye. Faith shuts its eyes to all that is seen and opens its ears to all God has said. This is the faith of God's elect. That's right. That's right. I don't fuss with a fellow. He said, I don't believe it. I can't see it. Well, you're blinded. You don't know anything about the faith of God's elect. You don't know anything about the faith of the Son of God. No, you don't. Faith is such a convincing power until it overcomes all fleshly reasoning and worldly wisdom and carnal prejudices and human excuses. Faith may be said to enlighten the judgment, mold the heart, move the will, reform the life. That's what faith does. Here's an individual going along through life, a young man, a young woman, and they don't see anything in the Bible. They don't see anything in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going along cursing and blaspheming, and they're going along living their own fleshly lives. And all at once, the Holy Spirit broods over that individual and begins to work the work of faith in that heart. He becomes afraid. He's scared to death an inch of his life. Then he begins to cry out, how can I get to Christ? How can I be saved? Well, what's the matter, young man? Well, I see things. I begin to see things. How are you seeing them? You're seeing them by faith. Oh, I'm beholding terrible things in my own life. And no, you're a good boy. Don't tell me that. I know what I am. I'm beholding terrible things in my own life. I'm beholding the terror of a sin-avenging God. I see my whole by great distance from a holy God. How are you doing it? By faith. I see that Christ, the only one who can save, that he died for sinners. Oh, if I knew that he died for me. What's the matter, young man? Nothing in the world but God's giving that young man faith to behold himself and to behold the Almighty God, the great Creator of the universe, the awful God of the universe, the God of judgment, the God of justice. Yes, sir, you see faith. Faith is bold against discouragements. Faith laughs at difficulties. Faith resists the devil. Faith triumphs over temptations. Now why? Because it unites the sinner with God. It unites faith, the saint, with God. That's why it's the faith of God's elect. For by it the elders obtained a good report. This means, for by faith we are approved of God. By faith elders were approved of God. Let's notice this one statement. It was not for their faith, but by their faith. By their faith. God never honors an individual for his faith. It is by his faith. Now that's a great difference. We live by the faith of the Son of God. There's no merits in our faith because it's a gift. It is faith that is wrought in our hearts by the Holy Spirit through his word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. God has never had but one way of salvation. That is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know, my friend. I've done my best to try to lay before you. The just shall live by faith. Are you living a life of faith? Are you?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out, where we have the old Trailblazer broadcast. We have our regular Sunday services, Wednesday night services. You say you still have service on Wednesday night, Pastor? Yes, sir. We sure do. I asked a friend the other day about their Wednesday night service. Oh, we don't have service. We let the pastor rest. I said, rest from what? Playing golf? They don't even get tired playing golf. Now they ride a cart. But this is our services here. We have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all the other time. But the message you heard today was, the just shall live by faith. And it's by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. He used to preach somewhere almost every night. Well, I went with him. I've gone with him on Tuesday night to Mobile, Wednesday night to Pensacola, Thursday night to Hattiesburg, on down, keep going. But that was many years ago. And then I'm able to go some now, but not like he did. But the message was, the just shall live by faith, and it's in print simply by writing. You can obtain it in booklet form and a whole list of other booklets if you'd like to have them. We'll be glad to send them to you. But let me ask you this. Would you help us with the broadcast just a little? We depend on your giving, and I want to thank every one of you who's been supplying the money here for many, many years. You know, the Lord, we've never missed a broadcast. One of the things I tell our folks, we don't go in debt. We pay our bills. We don't pay much, but we pay right on time. And the Lord has blessed us, and we're not in debt. You know, most churches are head over heels in debt, but not this ministry. But this is the old Trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, asking you to help us with the broadcast just a little. And remember my mailing address. First of all, the message was, the just shall live by faith. But remember our mailing address. If you'd like to have these booklets, or on CD, the messages are all on CD, and it's Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my phone number here is area code 225-664-8658. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.